The reading before the lesson this morning will be from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. And it reads, "Submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined by his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband."
It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see our guests. If you are visiting with us, I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest, and we hope, pray, and trust that you're doing well, that you're making good decisions, that you're striving to be what God would have you to be. All year, we're going to be talking about making God's choices. Well, today we're going to be talking about making God's choices in the family. And Brother Brian did an excellent job on last week as he started off our lessons concerning how the family must be bedrocked upon faith. Going to Deuteronomy chapter 30, looking at verses 19 and following, correlating that to Romans chapter 10. And I'm thankful for that because, truth be told, you can't truly have the family that God will have you to have unless it's bedrocked on faith. We understand, according to Romans 10 and verse number 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the word of God is necessary if our families are going to be what they need to be. But let me say this from the onset. When I'm talking about the family, I'm talking about not just the husband and wife, not just the husband, wife, and children. If you're single, then you're part of somebody's family. If anything, you're part of the family of God if you're a child of God. So when we think about being a husband, a wife, being a child, being single, being a widow, a widower, we have all of those different dynamics that are under the sound of my voice. And so when we consider being a part of the family, we want to make the choices that God makes. And so I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms, and I want us to start there, and we'll consider Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 33 here in a few minutes. And the reason why we want to start with Psalm 127 is because, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I stopped and I considered that, and I was thinking about that over the week and kind of putting some final thoughts in my mind on last night. I told Evelyn last night, I said, I think I got my lesson down. I was thinking about it all night. We think about the Lord building the house. It is God that truly builds the house. Some would say that the Lord here or the psalmist is talking about the church. No, he's talking about the family. He's not talking about 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, the family of God, but he's talking about the family. Keeping in mind that the family of God consists of family. And when we have strong families, families that are striving to do the will of God, families that are striving to make sure that God is first, then we'll have a strong congregation. The local work will be strong. When we consider Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, establishes the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Now watch this. Behold, children, offsprings. They're a heritage from the Lord. They're an inheritance. They're a portion. Friends, when we think about children, they are a blessing. Yes, we understand, especially as young parents, children can sometimes be a burden. However, if you do it right, if you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, I guarantee you they'll be a blessing. You'll see them as a blessing and not as a burden. So many in our world don't even consider their children being heritage from the Lord. They don't belong to us. When we make the choice that God makes, then we'll conclude what God says here through the psalmist, except the Lord builds the house, and children are indeed heritage of the Lord, which literally means that he wants the children back, which means that as we are building the house, and I was considering this as Brother Brian was doing the communion focus, if you will, I was thinking about how Jesus died and how we remember the death of Jesus. Every first day of the week, we're remembering his death. And without the death of Christ, there is no building of the church. Friends, when I consider the home and I think about the husband and the wife and they're working together, friends, unless one dies to themselves and live for Christ in the home, friends, there is no loving the foundation that God loves for us and desires for us. And so if you consider, notice what he says. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man. Now watch this, fathers. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. When you have a lot of children, that's such a blessing. There was a time when people used to say, why do you have all of those children? Don't you have a television? Don't you have a radio? Don't you have something else to do? You know, we used to laugh at that, but really what they're saying, God didn't know what he was talking about. A lot of children is a good thing. Why? Happy is the man who has a bunch of them. And I can say that too. Friends, we stop and we consider the love that God has for us by giving us his son, by giving us a family. Friends, I want us to consider some things. Turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi chapter 2. In Malachi chapter 2, verses 11 through 16, the love, we must love the Lord's foundation. We must love that very thing that God loves. Do you know, do you remember how much God loves his holy institution? Remember in the beginning when God created marriage? It's the very first institution. The very first institution was the husband-wife relationship. I'm reminded of what Adam said when he woke up and he saw his wife. He said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from the man. He was so excited. God would tell them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 1:28. But notice Malachi chapter 2. Friends, we want to make the choice that God makes. We want to love what God loves. And every family should love what God loves. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 11, that was not the case with Judah. That was not the case with the people of God. As a matter of fact, they have grown into idolatry, Brother Brian, to the point that they were actually mistreating their spouses, to the point that God was saying that you're dealing with them in a very treacherous way, in a deceptive way. And it wasn't right, and God was not pleased with them. In verse number 11, Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. God loves marriage. Evelyn reminded me of a passage yesterday, and we was talking about Jeremiah. I just want to share it with you. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 5. Look at Jeremiah 30 and verse number 5. Friends, we can't make this up. God loves marriage because he wants a holy offspring. He wants children that are walking according to his precepts and according to his understanding. Friends, only women can have children. Is it verse 6? In verse number 6 of Proverbs, Ask and see whether a man is able to, whether a man is ever in labor with child. Oh, wow. You remember in the 2020 and 21, they said that a man can have a child. Not according to God. According to God, friends, we need to make the choice that God makes. We need to be people who stand up where God stands up. And we understand, friends, when we think about the family, it's about a man who is marrying a woman and they are having children. We put it in that order. And you remember back in the day, the old people used to say, first come love, and then come marriage, and then come the baby in the baby carriage. The young people, y'all don't hear stuff like that. You know, when I was a kid, we used to watch ABC and CBS, Rock, and all those little old television shows that taught us principles and values. Maybe we need to get back to that and make the choice that God makes. Well, who are we to say that a man can't have a child? God said it. Women ought to have children because biologically they're the only ones that can. Friends, we have to love God's foundation. Go back to Malachi chapter 2. God loves his holy matrimony. He loves his holy institution. But drop down to verse number 14. Friends, we have to love God's foundation. Here's a great foundation. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. There are so many in our world today that are dealing deceitfully with their spouses, with their wives. Let that not be the case with the people of God. Your mother-in-law, a father-in-law, your wife, your husband, we ought to make sure that we hold one or another accountable, that we are actually dealing in a very holy way with our spouses. Amen. But why? Because God loves holy matrimony. But look at verse number, that latter part of verse 14. With whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But why? Why did he make them one? He made them one, friends, because he seeks a godly offspring. Therefore, now notice what he says, take heed to your spirit. Watch your attitude, and this is how I wanted to deal with this first point. As it relates to the foundation of marriage and the foundation of the family and making the right choice in the home, we have to watch our attitudes. There's one thing to do something correctly, but make sure that we have the right attitude as we do it correctly. We have to have the right attitude, and the right attitude is to love the very thing that God loves, and that's marriage. But turn to Ephesians chapter 5. As you're turning there, verses 21 through the end of the chapter, appreciate Brother Lane reading that. When we think about how God loves marriage, and here we have Jesus, John 1, verse number 14, John 1, verse number 18, he's on the earth. In John chapter 2, he's at a wedding feast. Oh, the Son of God, he loves marriage too. Friends, we ought to love what God loves. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21 to verse number 33, we see something interesting. We ought to make the choice to be loyal. Be loyal in what? Three things. I want us to see that we must be loyal in submission. We ought to be loyal in our love. And we ought to be loyal in our respect. Three things. Number one. In verse number 21, we see that submission is to one another. Yet, in verse number 22, we see that wives are to submit to their own husbands. The word there is the idea of falling in rank, recognizing roles. Friends, even though the male and the female are both human and therefore equal in their humanity, they are different when it comes to their roles. That's important for us to know. And in the world that we live in, and we've been in this world for a long time, people are not making God's choices as it relates to the family, as it relates to the home. Well, me and my husband, we go 50-50. We are 50-50. We're both on the same level as it relates to our roles and authority. That is false. There has to be a leader. There has to be someone that's going to lead the charge. But what does that mean? I need to love God's foundation. I need to love the Lord's foundation. And when I love the Lord's foundation, then I'm seeking to be loyal to the one in whom I'm founded upon. And so submission is key. I got to have the right attitude. I need to make the right decision. God's choice in being submissive. Submissive to one another. But also the wife submitting to her own husband. But then drop down to verse 23 and 24. In verse number 23 and 24, we see something that's very interesting as well and worthy of our consideration and acceptation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23 and 24. Notice what the Bible here has to say. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Friends, the husband is the head of the wife. Oh, that's so antiquated. That's so outdated. That's so in the past. We don't do things like that like we used to. Well, in Christian culture, we do those things. Now, for some reason, the world that we live in believes that we don't have to do what God says. Friends, we have to. Why? Because God's way, his choice is always the best choice. But why? Why is the man the head? Why is he the leader? Because the man was first formed, then Eve. You look up that word first form in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 8 through 14. Literally, he's chief man. He was the one that was created first, and therefore the woman came forth from the man. But then after that, man came forth from the woman. It's an order. God is a God of order. And so when things are done according to God's way, and I know it's difficult at times, especially if that man is not spiritual. Especially if that man is not being the leader that he needs to be. If he's not standing up for what he needs to stand up for. And friends, being the head, it holds great responsibility. Why? Because as a husband, especially Christian husbands, we have the responsibility of nurturing and cherishing our wives. The idea of nurturing is feeding our wives spiritually. Cherishing, keeping her warm. But why? Because that's God's choice. It's God's choice. Friends, the family needs to make that choice. But why are we talking about these things? We're talking about these things because if we don't talk about them, then the world is going to take over the minds of the people of God. And the next thing you know, we're bringing that madness inside of the church building. But she needs to be in submission to her husband in everything. Wow. Brother Mike, are you sure about that? Brother Mike, are you sure? That's what we read. But if that man is worth his salt, if that man is spiritual, if that man is striving to actually walk according to the Spirit's teaching, Galatians 5:16, if he is developing and producing the fruit of the Spirit in his good spiritual life, Galatians 5:22 and 23, he's going to listen to that wife. He's going to talk to that wife. He's going to get input from that wife. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, the first 7 verses there, we find something very powerful, very interesting, very understanding how Sarah, as she called her husband Abraham, Lord. But look at verse number 7. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 3. I won't keep you long this morning, but just long enough to make these points that we need to make God's choice, his choices, even when difficulty arises, even when my husband is not even worth listening to, even when he's hard-headed and won't hush, I still need to do what God says. Remember Ephesians 5, I need to submit myself unto my husband as unto the Lord. Wow. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in the home, in the family, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Give an honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Peter, by inspiration, and inspiration means, because we've used that a few times already, mean that the Holy Spirit was the one moving the author along. These men were not just saying these things because these were their words. The Holy Spirit is behind these men, giving them the things to say. I need to dwell with my wife according to understanding. In the home, I can't be looking in someone else's yard and think I'm going to understand my wife. That's good preaching right there. I got to keep my nose in my yard. I got to sniff in my yard. You know, dogs like to sniff your yard. Oh, that's good preaching right there. That's good preaching right there. That's good preaching right there. I know it is. I know that's good preaching. I ain't bad. I'm just telling you, that's good preaching. And folk ain't preaching that. Well, Brother Mike, you're going to run some folk off. And you know what I've learned in my older years? Some folk need to be ran off because they don't want to do right. We've learned that people who come to 9th and Main, they usually want to do what's right, and they don't come and stay. Let's make this point. Dwell according to understanding. Are you taking the time to understand your wife? It implies sacrifice. It implies affection. It implies listening. It implies time. There's some implications going on there. But notice what he says, friends. Notice the spiritual aspect that he puts in there. In verse number 7, as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together. The Christian and the Christian are heirs together. For this reason, we beg and we plead with our young people, marry a Christian so you can be heirs together. Because you can't be heirs with one who is not an heir themselves. I got Bible for that. Romans 8, verses 24 through verse number 29. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is why we ought to be begging our young people, marry a Christian. Why? So you can pray together. So you can sing together. So you can love one another according to God's will. And so the more we think about Ephesians chapter 5, turn your Bibles back there. And we want to consider how the husband ought to love their wives. Now put your seatbelts on, friends, because making God's choice is to love your wife. But the word there, agapeo, is the idea of demonstrating an affection for her. An affection? So this is not just you doing things for her, but rather you have a mentality about her. You have a sentiment about her. There's an emotion in your mind. You have a longing to be with her. Wow. And very few women find that. And so for the older couples, sometimes if you're not careful, you can get so used to each other that that affection kind of dwindles. And it reminds me of the book of Leviticus, where the priests were responsible for making sure that the fire didn't go out. And they had to keep putting wood on the sacrifice, on the altar rather. And the idea there is so the people of God can always come at any time of the day, any time of the night, in the wee hours of the morning, they can come and offer a sacrifice. The husband-wife relationship, the family relationship must be stoked. You got to keep putting the wood on there and make sure that the wood is dry so it can burn. So if you're thinking about getting married, you got to ask yourself, well, do I have an affection? Am I willing to truly put in the work? Do I want to dwell with understanding? And so there's a submission and there's a love there. There's an affection there. And in that affection, we understand that God truly desires for us to be a people who are seeking to protect their spouses. And friends, we need more men protecting their wives. And we need more wives protecting their husbands. Because we live in a world, a very sexual world today. and there is not a great deal of respect for marriage, God's holy covenant, that individuals will intrude and approach and encroach even the married. And so, wives, protect your husbands. And husbands, protect your wives. And watch what you wear. And watch where you go. And watch what you say. But why? Because we have an adversary. He's the devil. And anytime things are going right, here he comes. And everyone has three things that they got to deal with: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Friends, the older ought to be teaching the younger that. And we ought to be reminding one another of those things. And so the more I think about submission and love, but look at Ephesians 5 and look at the very last verse. There's a respect. And one thing that I've learned about men, because I'm a man, and what men need in the home is respect. They need the wife to respect him. They need the children to respect him. They need him to be honored. And I find it interesting where God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us that we are to love our enemies. And that's interesting because nowhere in the scriptures it demonstrates that our enemies should love us. But we got to love our enemies. And so God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He was willing to die for those who hated him. And so that's the point there. But here, well, what if my husband doesn't deserve the honor and the respect? Wow. Here's some free marital counseling. If you can't respect them before marriage, you probably won't respect them after. If you don't have that affection before, you're going to struggle during. Now, this is where it affects the family. The children see it. The friends and the family, they see it. And so we got to make God's choice. That the wife sees that she respects. I like the King James rendering. It says reverence her husband. Let me make a doctrinal point here. In Psalm 111 in verse number 9, we find the passage there to say something very interesting. Brother Leon, when you get that passage, I want you to read it because I want them to hear it so they don't think I'm making it up. In Psalm 111 and verse 9, what does the Bible say?
He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name.
Holy and reverent is God's name. God deserves all reverence. When we think about roles in the church, when we think about roles in the home, friends, sisters, your husband deserves reverence. It is stated that if things are not going right in the family, make up your mind to do what's right and give it time. It may get right. It's just like anything else in our lives. And so there's a loyalty. Because we love the foundation of God, there's a loyalty that we must have. To be people who are submissive and husbands that love their wives and wives that respect their husbands. But I want you to look at Ephesians 6 and look at verses 1 through 4 because there's a longevity. There is an offspring and we talked about it a little bit so I won't spend much time with it. But fathers, we have a responsibility. But children, you have a responsibility. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Notice the longevity there. And you fathers, do not irritate, provoke your children unto wrath, anger, causing them to be despondent and blue and want to go off all the time. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents. The longevity. We want our children to have good lives. And as arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. We want to point them in the right direction, and we want to see them go in the right direction. But we want them to go in the right direction, spiritually speaking, not just socially, not just financially, not just in other areas, but we want our children to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." That requires time and patience and understanding, and it requires you being there. The family. We got to make God's choice. And so there is a loyalty that we must have, and we have to ensure longevity. And therefore, it makes me think about Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, and Proverbs 22 and verse number 15, and Proverbs 29 and verse number 15, as it relates to training up a child. And that's not just bringing them to church, brethren. You got to spend time with your children at home. You got to teach them the word of God. So when they're in class, they're paying attention. When they're in class, they're interacting. When they're in class, they're understanding. And when they're in worship, they got the Bible open. They're taking notes. They really want to be there. You don't want them lost sitting on the pew. And no wonder most children leave the faith as soon as they leave the house. Friends, put the faith in your children. Because when you put the faith in your children, then they'll have faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Longevity. Reminded of a guy, and this is a true story. Good friend of mine, when I was in San Antonio, used to always go to his house, his mom, and would cook food for us on lunch break, and we'll go over there and chow down real quick. I love them, they love me. I remember one day he came to work. "Hey, man, my dad ain't doing good." "What's going on?" "He's at the hospital. He ain't gonna make it." "Well, let's go see him." So we take our lunch break. We tell the manager, "Hey, we're gonna be a little bit extra. His dad's not feeling well." I go over there and, "Hey, how you doing, sir? It's good to see you, Mike." "Mike?" "Yes, sir." "You think I'm going to make it?" "Not a member of the church." That was a tough day. Brethren, you don't want your children to end up like that. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your children. Spend time with your wife. Because if you don't, someone else will. We got to make God's choices. The greatest blessing that a man can have, and I'm talking about an M-A-N, is a family. Oh, we enjoy the fruit of our labors, make good money. But from another story, this man's on his deathbed, and I get quite a few of those. He didn't ask for his money market account and his IRA, and he didn't ask for none of that. He said, "I just want to see my family." So I'm talking to Brother Starks this morning. He said, "Brother Mike," I said, "What's up, bro? You remember so-and-so?" "Yeah, we just had Thanksgiving dinner together." He said, "Yeah." "Yeah, he just died." I said, "Dude, did he get right?" Because he was living with someone who wasn't his wife. He said, "No." Jesus said, "If you die in your sins where I am, you can't come." Friends, these are real stories. Those are not preacher stories. So what will it take? It's going to take loving the Lord's foundation, Psalm 127. It's going to take loyalty. Ephesians 5, 21 through the end of the chapter. It's going to take understanding our longevity through our children. Got to bring them up the right way. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. But we can't do this by ourselves. We need help. Well, who do we need? I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Brother Leon and I was studying the other day. We came across a couple of passages. It's one thing I love about studying with brethren. You get to learn things and get to review things and get to see things that you normally didn't see. And as you get older and the Word of God begins working on you in a different way because you're understanding is different, you're maturing and made some mistakes and got some things right, and now things mean a little bit different to you. 2 Timothy 1 in verse number 5, we find something very interesting. We understand that Timothy had a grandmother and a mother that he could lean upon. The family needs faithful people that they can lean upon, Courtland. You need faithful people. 2 Timothy 1 in verse number 5, here Paul, he saw the faith, the genuine faith, the unfeigned faith that was in his grandmother and in his mother. They could lean upon them. And Paul is recognizing that and reminding Timothy, you have that, and that's in you too. I know Paul didn't lie. He told the truth. And that demonstrated that grandmother and mother, they worked together to make sure that young Timothy had the Word of God in him. Gigi, I need you to do your part. Put the Word of God in them grandbabies. We got to put the Word of God. Ain't nothing wrong. They come on. It's good to see them. They're doing all this and it's all good fun. But we got to put the Word of God in them. Because after a while, they're not cute. I'm living proof. But go up to verse number 2. Not only could Timothy lean upon his mother and grandmother, he could lean upon his father in the faith. He calls him my beloved son. You know what that tells us? That the church of Christ, when it's done right, oh, we can make the right choice. If you want your children to be faithful, just put them around the right people. You do your part at home. If you want your wife to be faithful, your husband to be faithful, here, make sure they come to worship, come to Bible class, make sure you come to the events, and then make sure you live according to the Word of God at home. And when you do that, I'm done. When you do that, I guarantee you, you can at least say, I've done my part. Because everybody is a free moral agent. They can make their own decision. And so as John the Baptist was sent to the fathers in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 17 to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, we have the responsibility when we preach the word, we're preaching to daddy, we're preaching to the father. Well, maybe there's no dad at home. Then mama, do your part. You got double duty, but make sure that your child has the best chance of hearing well done. Well, so-and-so wasn't there. That's fine. You got help. And I end with this. Go to Hosea 4 and verse number 6. Leon, when you get that, read it. Hosea 4 and verse number 6. God was totally in despair with his people. He was tired of his people. His people didn't want to listen. But the problem was this, and I can see it and understand it better now. It wasn't that it was the grown-ups that were being affected. Brother Brian, the children were being affected. And God loves children. Suffer the little ones to come unto me. Teach the little ones. In Hosea 4 and verse number 6, what did the Bible say?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me.
Now watch this part.
Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children.
You know what he's saying? Because you haven't taught your children, I have no choice but to forget about them because they won't remember me. Friends, teach your children. Husbands, teach your wives. Wives, teach your husbands. Families, teach one another. And allow the family to make God's choice together. And it can be the greatest evangelism piece that God has. The Church of Christ, yes, but the family, the individual family, they ought to be able to see the wisdom of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. They ought to be able to see God himself in the family. And when they do that, you can rest on your dying day and say, Father, I'm ready to go home. Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready to get out of here. Let's pray. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your high and your holy name. Father, you're most holy. You're most high, rather. And because of that, Father, we bow down to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pray to Father that you be with the congregation here and every family. Perhaps, Father, there are families that need special prayer. Pray to Father that we'll do our part in making sure that they can at least make the right choice. Father, help us to make the right choice. And when we don't make the right choice, help us to make the right choice, to make the wrong choice right. Father, we know that you love us and you have given us your word. You have given us your son. But Father, you have given us the church. No better place than the church. Your son willing to die for. And one day he's going to come back for her, deliver her back to you. Father, we're looking forward to that day. Forgive us. Help us to do what's right. Help us to be resolved to have the right attitude. Make up our minds to just do right. And help us to be a people who don't mind being held accountable. Just help us do right. Be with those who are suffering in their widowhood, those who are single, striving to one day want to be married. Pray to Father you be with every household. We need thee, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider following the Christ. When we follow the Christ, we'll end up where he is, and that's in glory with God. Right now, Jesus, according to Mark 14:62, is sitting at the right hand of power. One day we'll get to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer to the things that we have done in this body, whether it be good or bad. Jesus on that day will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a few things that make you ruler of many. Or he may say, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. But we're striving to hear the former, not the latter. If you're not a child of God, if you're not have been baptized into Christ, you're not a member of the Lord's Church, Church of Christ, we want to study with you. And we want to beg you. We're begging you. Let us sit down and study with you. And if your heart is right, you'll ask the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. Oh, yes. I say that all the time. And I'm going to keep on saying it because it is amazing that a person can have all of their sins washed away and be forgiven for everything that they have done wrong and placed in the beautiful body, Church of Christ. There's no better place on the face of the earth. You be faithful in the death, you'll receive the crown of life. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been making God's choices, been there. Sometimes you have to renew your faith, been there. Sometimes you wonder, why haven't I been reading the Bible? Been there. Why am I not praying and studying like I'm supposed to? Been there. But God is long-suffering, merciful, and wants us to repent. What a great God we serve. That the God of heaven will forgive you even when man won't. What a beautiful God we serve. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.